Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Batya Brander, and today we will be studying Hosea chapter 12. Chapter 11 was primarily words of comfort, Nechama, a welcome message of hope for the future of the 10 tribes. But with only 3 chapters left, the next 2 chapters will return to the themes of rebuke and punishment. However, in this chapter, we refer many times to Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, our forefather, and will weave back and forth between references to current-day children of Israel and the original Yaakov Avinu and the challenges that he had to deal with. And indeed, he had many challenges, as we'll see. According to both Ashkenazic and Sephardic traditions, this chapter, in its entirety, is the Haftorah for Parshas Vayetze. In the 3 parshios that make up the bulk of Yaakov Avinu's life, Toldos, Vayetze, and Vayishlach, Vayetze is really sandwiched in between the birth stage, the early stage of Yaakov Avinu, how he was born, until the time he got the blessings, and the latter stage of Yaakov Avinu, where he returns to the land of Israel with 11 of his 12 children. And he faces off not only with the angel of Esav, but with Esav himself. And as we'll see, this Haftorah has a number of references to this transition state, which we'll see further on in the chapter. Chapter 12, verse 1, Sivavuni Bechachash Ephraim. We begin with words of rebuke about Ephraim, representing, of course, the northern kingdom. Ephraim surrounds me with lies. Uvimirma Beis Yisrael. And the house of Israel surrounds me with deceit. In contrast to the northern kingdom, Yehuda Od Rad Imkel. Yehuda continues to rule with the fear of Hashem and with the Holy One who is faithful. The Im Kedoshim Ne'eman. Because for the majority of the time, Yehuda has been faithful to Hashem. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, continues with the theme, explaining further the lies and deceit of Ephraim, and that Ephraim is chasing the wrong team. Verse 2, Ephraim ro'eh ruach v'rodef kadim. Here the word ro'eh either can refer to shepherding or support, or connecting from re'ut. So we would translate this that Ephraim, the northern kingdom, supports itself or connects itself to wind and chases the east wind, something that's unproductive, hot, doesn't bring rain. These are referring to the worthless idolatry that they follow after. But now it talks about their behavior with other people and their business dealings. Kol hayom kazav v'shod yerbeh. All day he multiplies lies and robbery in his immoral business dealings. Uvris im Ashur yechrosu, and he made covenants with Ashur, Assyria, seeking their help and support. Vishem and Lemitzrayim Yuval, and they send oil to Egypt as payment, bribe for their support and help. And although we started the chapter with mentioning that Yehuda overall rules with fear of Hashem, meaning that's how he conducts himself, but there were times where that was not so. In Pasuk Gimel, V'riv l'Hashem im Yehuda. Hashem also has a contention, an issue with Yehuda, because they at times worshipped idolatry and engaged in other sins. V'lifkod al Yaakov kidrachav, kima'ala lav yashiv lo. Hashem will reckon on all the children of Yaakov according to what they did, in payment according to their deeds. And in fact, Yehuda experienced periods of time of great suffering, especially right before and even during the time period of the exile of the 10 tribes. Perhaps the reference back to Yehuda is because now we're going to shift to Yaakov, and the Navi is trying to say that the following messages are for all the children of Yaakov Avinu. Even though the primary focus of Hosea is the 10 tribes, this too at times will apply to the 2 tribes, the southern kingdom. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, really refers to 2 different time periods in Yaakov Avinu's life. As we mentioned earlier, the before, when he was just in his infancy stage and childhood stage, and the after, when he comes back as a strong man, head of a large household. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Babeten akav esachiv. In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel. Ba'ono sara es Elokim. In his time of strength, he strove with a godlike being, referring to the angel of Esav. Rav Hirsch understands this pasuk a little bit differently and has a very deep and meaningful message that comes from this pasuk. Babeten, in the womb, represents Yaakov's natural position in the world. He is a cave, holding on to the heel. That is the designation of a dependent, subordinate position. That's who Yaakov is naturally. But then Yaakov receives a mission, a purpose, of making the highest human spiritual destiny a reality through observing the laws of Hashem, his Torah. Through this, then we can become, ka'ono, people of strength. Rav Hirsch explains, with its spiritual moral mission as the bearer of the word of Hashem, it, meaning Israel, has the capacity to attain great heights of world history, of which it can keep itself with Hashem. And so he translates the phrase, ka'ono sara es Elokim. Here, Elokim is a reference to Hashem. And he would translate it, by his, Yaakov's power, Yaakov became governor with Hashem. Yaakov has his name changed. Yaakov alone is the weakest, most dependent nation amongst its brother nations. But Yisrael is a man with a mission. Yisrael, he is a governor with Hashem. The Navi continues describing the interaction between Yaakov Avinu and that angel of Esav, which continues with the theme of the first way that we translated the last pasuk. Vayasar el malach vayuchal. Yaakov, he fought with the angel and prevailed. Bacha vayischanen lo. And the angel cried and pleaded with Yaakov to release him. Beis el yimtzaenu. Hashem, quote-unquote, found him in Beis El, where he sent him after the meeting with Esav and the incident in Shechem. Visham diber imanu. And in Beis El, Hashem reiterated the promises that he made to Avram Avinu to give him, i.e. Yaakov's descendants, Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, V'Hashem Elokei HaTzvakos, Hashem Zichro. Here, Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is used twice. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the God of hosts. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is his memory. We often talk about Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as representing the Midah of mercy, as opposed to Elokim, which represents the Midah of Din, judgment. Rav Hirsch really expands this idea of the quality of mercy, and here he calls it the God of love. He understands this pasuk, that the loving, merciful God who rules the heavenly hosts, Hashem Zichro, as the God of love does he wish to be thought of and recognized by human beings. I think there's an added reminder here, Elokei HaTzvakos, the God of hosts, reminding us that God rules over all other forces. And avodat kochavim u'mazalot, worship of the stars and constellations, make no sense because it has no independent power. So what is the mission of the Jew? The mandate is simple. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Va'ata be'elokecha tashuv, and you, my nation, return to your God. Chesed u'mishpat shmor, observe the mitzvos of kindness and justice, v'kave el Hashem tamid, and continuously hope for Hashem's salvation. Rav Chaim Hanun writes that this is the essence of what Hashem wants of us, l'kavos l'Hashem, which is to know that Hashem decides if there will be salvation or not. That is the hope of Hashem. The Yaakov who is grasping for his brother's heel versus the Yaakov who has strength and stands with God. How does one get from one stage to the other? Turning to God, chesed and mishpat, guarding over righteousness and kindness, and putting our hope and faith in Hashem. But, sadly, the Navi turns back to Ephraim with the accusation that you are like Kinaan, pasuk ches, verse 8. Kinaan biado mozne mirma, la'ashok ahev. You are like the Kinaanim, or perhaps like merchants. In your hands are deceitful scales meant to cheat people, and you love to oppress. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Ephraim responds, Vayomer Ephraim, Ach Asharti, but I got rich. Matzati only, I found and acquired much power. Kol Yegiai, all of my efforts, Lo Yimtzuuli Avon Asher Chet, you will not find in me a sin that's a sin. Okay, that one we have to explain. Rav Hirsch understands this as saying, you won't find any miscalculation on my part, any accidental flaw. It's as if, or at least the way I understand it, it's as if he's saying, don't worry, there's no way I'll get caught. But Hashem continues, Pasuk Yod, verse 10, Va'anochi Hashem Elokecha, me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am your God from the time of Egypt, and I'm still your God now. Od oshivcha ba'ahalim kimei moed. I will yet again make you dwell in tents as in the days of the appointed seasons. This pasuk could be understood in a variety of ways. We'll focus on two. Number one, I am your God from Egypt. I still have expectations of you, and therefore I'm going to send you back to dwell in the desert experience in tents. This would be a statement of punishment. Alternatively, the Navi is saying, you're going to be punished. I know that that's going to happen. But I want you to know that I'm your God from that time, and I'm still your God now. And someday I will redeem you and restore you from exile. I will bring you back to your tents. And although the second way sounds comforting, it also implies the inevitability of exile and points to the fact that the 10 tribes are on the cusp of exile. And so verse 11 continues, V'dibarti al hanavim, v'anochi chazon hirbesi, uviyad hanavim adameh. And I spoke to, or about the Nevi'im, the prophets, and I showed them many visions, and I sent many similes and metaphors to the prophets. Perhaps the message is that you should take these images with you to sustain you in exile. And this is, in fact, what you ladies are doing right now as you're listening to this recording. You're studying these images left by Hashem in the hands of a prophet as a pathway back to preparing ourselves for redemption and in the inevitability of exile. Pasuk Yud Beis, Im Gilad Oven. Gilad, the major region from Manasseh on the eastern side of the Jordan River, was of the first group to go into exile. It's interesting because the word oven implies iniquity, but own was power, and so oven is misuse of power. So we understand this as if Gilad did iniquities, ach shav hayu, if vanities and worthless they were, v'gilgal shivarim zavachu, and in Gilgal they brought bull offerings. Gam mizbechosam kegalim al talmei sadai, and their altars will be heaps, like the little heaps that occur alongside the furrows of a field. Intuitively, I feel like there's some very deep message here to the description of the heaps of the furrows. Your goal is to dig out a thin trench, and yet the byproduct are these clods of earth, and I'm not really sure what the message is. Radak points out that the reference to Gilgal and Gilad is because they're neighbors, and so they would learn from each other bad deeds. The next two psukim, we go back to our history lesson about Yaakov Avinu and then Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk Gimel, verse 13, we'll see Yaakov Avinu's challenges, and they were very great. Vayivrach Yaakov Sede Aram. Yaakov had to run to the fields of Aram to escape his murderous brother Esav. Vayavod Yisrael Ba'isha. He had to work in order to acquire a wife. Uveisha Shamar, he had to watch flock for a wife. This is the opposite of the norm. Often a woman provides a dowry. Yet Yaakov Avinu had to work for 14 unpaid years in order to marry Rachel and Leah. And if that wasn't enough, look what happened to his offspring. They get sent down to Egypt and enslaved there. Pasuk Yud Dalid, verse 14. Uvenavi, through a prophet, meaning through Moshe, He'elah Hashem es Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Hashem took Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Ubenavi nishmar. And they required a Navi, a prophet, to watch over them from all the many enemies that they had while they were in the desert. The implication is Yaakov really had it hard. But you didn't, Ephraim. You were handed everything on a silver platter. And so the final pasuk of the chapter, Hich'is Ephraim tamrurim. Ephraim has provoked most bitterly. V'damav alav yitosh. Therefore his blood shall be cast upon him. V'cherpaso yashiv lo adonav. Their shame, their reviled behavior, the worship of idolatry, Hashem will return back to him, will boomerang back on him. The Radak says that Hashem will pay Ephraim on his head for spilling innocent blood and reviling him via the calves. Even though Ephraim doesn't recognize Hashem's mastery, against his will, Hashem will be the master. I think the message of this chapter is that Yaakov Avinu had to work hard to earn the status of Yisrael. It came with a mission and a mandate. And you, Ephraim, do not get to benefit from the lofty status unless you're willing to take upon yourself that mandate as well. Thank you for learning. Le'ilui Nishmas, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.